Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Alvin Pelton. Alvin and his wife Lenny have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist for many years, and Alvin was on staff with us for 20 years, first as Minister of Education and then as Church Administrator. And so I've been begging him for a few months to be on the podcast, and he finally agreed. So thank you, Alvin, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, Mary. We'll begin with the Old Testament reading in Joshua, chapter 24, verses 16 through 33. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws, and Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heresh, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And Eleazar, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas in the hill country of Ephraim. We're going to turn our attention now to Psalm 126, a song of ascents. "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us.' We were all filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Like streams in the Negev, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Finally, we'll turn our attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. We talk about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Beginning in verse 18, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." Then he switches to the parable of the wandering sheep. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish."
Thank you so much, Alvin, for joining the podcast today. I want you to tell the people who are listening a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you meet Lenny? All of those things.
I'd love to do that, because when I listen to the podcast, I always enjoy hearing other people's stories. I grew up in Tampa, Florida, and it was in 1946 that I was born. And hearing myself say that, that's 100 years ago. And I enjoyed growing up there because it was a simple time, without air conditioning, without very much in life. And when I was a wee little boy, I watched the test pattern on television, because that's all there was on television, with an antenna to it. You'll allow me to reminisce there for a moment. I went to elementary school and junior high and all those things in Tampa. And when I went to high school, I played in the high school band. And when I was in the high school band, a senior, I was in the trumpet section. And when I was there, a young lady walked into the band room, and I was sitting next to my best friend. And I said, "Hey, who is that beautiful girl coming in the band room?" And it turned out to be Lenny. She played in the flute section, and I said, "Hey, I want to meet her." And sure enough, he set me up a time, and we obviously in the band got to meet other people, and I made it a point to meet her. And to make a long story short, we began seeing each other, and through the process of band interaction, began to date. One thing led to another, and we dated for almost five years, and then got married. So
that is so interesting to know that you guys met in the band, and then you got married 5 years later. But I want to back up a little bit. Did you go to church growing up, or how did you come to faith?
I grew up without church. My father said, "Whatever you want to do." My mother said, "Whatever you want to do." And I was all of 5 years of age, and my sister was 9. And we just said, "Yeah, I want to go to church." So she would take us and drop us off at a local Baptist church, because in that day, you could do that. You didn't have to worry about other things. And I would go in, and about 10 of us 5-year-old boys would drive the teacher nuts. And then we would go into the sanctuary that had the preacher sweating and hollering and screaming and the windows open in Tampa, Florida, and everybody had their funeral home fan. And at the end of the hour, I would leave and mother would pick us up. And after a few months of that, I decided I didn't want any more of it. I knew there was something missing in my life. I knew dramatically life was not right. So when I met Lenny, I could see her if I went to church. So she invited me to church. I went to church with her. My mother bought me a $69 suit from Grant's, and it was made out of wool, and I was in Florida, and it was hot. And lo and behold, the high school Sunday school teacher that I went to in the boys' class was none other than Lenny's daddy. So I received a very good Sunday school lesson. And after about 4 or 5 months, I realized that this is what was missing in my life. Mm-hmm. So I went to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and the more I went to church, the more I realized that God was what was missing in my life. And one Sunday night, I went forward and told the preacher I wanted to become a Christian, and thus began my pilgrimage to get to know God better.
I know that you served in ministry for over 40 years, so I want to know then, after becoming a follower of Christ, how you discerned a call to ministry.
The more I worked in church, the more I wanted to work in church, even as a layperson. But in those days, I knew certain things had to take place. I had to finish college at the University of South Florida. I knew the military was right after me because those were the days of Vietnam. So there was no choice. And I had no idea of full-time Christian service because nobody I ever knew did that. Very few churches had those kind of people. So after I graduated from USF, I went into the Air Force and served my country and served a year in Vietnam and got out, and we came back and went back to work in a local church, became a deacon, and the more I served, the more I knew that I wanted to serve God full-time. I came to a point, and I said to God, I want to serve you in any way you want me to, and be able to say when I die that I have served you completely. There's a lot of background behind that brought me to that point of decision. And God prepared us for that because when you're in the military, you move every year or so. So we loaded up the U-Haul and went to New Orleans Seminary.
Mm-hmm. And after New Orleans, where was your first outpost of service?
Well, with all due respect, we went to First Baptist Covington, Georgia, as a youth minister and minister of education. And after about 2 years, I realized that that was not my call. And those youth realized that I was not in that call either. So I went to First Baptist Greer, South Carolina.
That's why we share a love of South Carolina peaches, because Alvin spent some time there.
The big city of Greer.
After Greer.
Went to First Baptist Huntsville. And Huntsville is a fine church, a large church, full of engineers. We were there 10 years. And Jim Mobies came and called me one day, and we visited, and I felt the urging of the Spirit to come here in 1996. Worked here with him and then Dr. Dorch until 2016.
What are some of your hobbies and interests?
At the present time, as a retired person, my hobbies have been genealogy, digging around in my past, and fortunately, I have built on the work of others, so my genealogy for the Pelton side goes back to when John Pelton came to America.
Wow.
So I've enjoyed that a great deal.
What is a favorite spot that you have to visit?
Oh, we love the Rocky Mountains. We spent a year in Denver in the military, and about 8 months in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I don't miss that.
Tell me about an interesting person that you've met along the way.
When we were in Huntsville, a friend of ours introduced us to Jim Irwin, who was an astronaut. He spent time during his career on the moon, and after his career, spent several years working to find the Ark in and around Turkey, and he wrote a book about it, and we were able to actually spend a good bit of time talking to him. He was a fascinating person.
Did he believe he had found the Ark?
He believed he did from space and from photographs, but he never did lay his hands on it.
Oh, man. Over your life, have there been moments where you sensed God leading you in one direction, or has his direction been so clear to you?
Yes, there have been a few, one of which was when we decided to go to seminary And that was to, let's test this out and see if it's right for us because it involved taking children. We thought it was Midwestern Seminary. We got there. We met people, and both Lenny and I agreed this just wasn't right. Nice people, but it wasn't for us. We changed our routing and went by New Orleans Seminary. We flew there. We got into the airport, went to get a rental car, got in line, and we found out they were telling us no rental cars. And 20 miles from the airport to the seminary, we could not hardly get there. So we went ahead and went up to the counter, and even though the people in front of us were told there were no rental cars, the gentleman behind the rental car counter said, "Do you need a car to the seminary?" And we said, "Yes, we do." And he said, "Well, I happen to have one right here." Handed us the keys. We, Lenny and I, looked at each other and burst out laughing, of course. And he handed us the key. We gave him a credit card, and we thanked God all the way to New Orleans Seminary and said, "This must be something to do with God." We got to the campus and felt at home, just like we had prayed to feel at home, if that was the right place for us. The other occasion where we felt God's direction was we were checking out an idea for a partnership evangelism trip, and we just weren't sure. So while we were on a educational trip to Ridgecrest Conference Center in Ridgecrest, North Carolina, Lenny met a missionary from Japan, and she talked to her because of a connection she had with her home church in Tampa, Florida. The lady missionary from Japan assured Lenny that we were going to Japan. Out of the clear blue, she said, "Certainly you're going to Japan, and I'll tell you which church it is. It's Funabash Church in Japan." So Lenny came back and told me, and so we got home, and I proceeded to call the Japanese Baptist Mission and got their number, waited till late at night so it'd be in daytime in Japan. Called in Tokyo, where the Japanese Baptist Mission was, dialed the number, a sweet little lady answered, and I asked for some information. And she said, "Just a moment," and a male voice answered. And I said, "Hi, I'm Alvin Pelton in the United States, and I'm seeking some information." And the male voice said, "Alvin Pelton, I know you." And I said, "Who in the world is this?" And he said, "I know you, Alvin. I know you. We lived across the way from each other in New Orleans Seminary." And he gave me his name. He said, "Of course you're coming to Japan. Of course you are. Quit praying about it and just sign up." Now, that is what you call a real sign that we needed to sign up and go. So naturally, I quit fussing about it and ruminating about it and praying about it. We signed up. We went. We saw these friends. We went to the Funabash Church and had a wonderful week-long evangelistic trip. So there are experiences where God works directly in our lives, and it is a unique time to celebrate God's goodness.
Alvin, what is the Lord currently teaching you?
In these retirement years, I am learning more and more about time and patience and the use of time. Because I had bypass surgery a few years ago, that, along with other things, has caused me to cherish time, but yet use it generously in serving God. And I have watched how doors have opened with people. Let me give you an example real quick. Our mailman, who obviously sees all the stuff that comes to my house, we began talking about faith. And by the way, he has the same first name, Alvin, and how easy it is just to talk to people about faith, how easy it is to talk to people about needs in their lives by simply slowing down for a moment and being open to people and kind to people and using a word out of our own church kind of slogan that says being generous to people. And people respond so readily, and you can be in a conversation with them about struggles in their lives, heartaches in their lives, and sharing faith with them in very informal yet needed ways without even trying hard. It's been a wonderful experience for me. And I do not go out of my way to become the old retired preacher that tries to preach to everybody, but it is an interesting fact of life for me.
Alvin, thank you for your time today and for your mentorship along the way. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Certainly. Let's pray. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, sustainer of life, and giver of joy and peace, we give you our praise and thanksgiving because surely without you there is no hope in this world. There is no forgiveness of sin. There is no life. There is no joy. There is no peace. May you grant freedom and happiness to those who are listening today who struggle with life, who seek an answer to the struggles and the heartaches that surround them. May you bless and give strength to them. May you grant healing to the bodies and minds of those that we care about, and may you bless the reading of God's word in their souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.